were at a concert last weekend. Very pretty singing, lots of singing, without the mention of Jesus. And we attended the Christmas parade, where we had lots of our people. I could familiarize some faces from our church. There was no representation from the church, I would believe. Probably we don't take part in those. Well, we should. It's the celebration of the birth of Christ. And we don't see the name of Christ being taken anywhere. Quite hopeless. So we are going to, in the next 4 Sundays, we are going to talk about Advent. And today we are going to talk about hope. Hope that Jesus brings. Hope that Jesus brought when he came to this world. The word hope is very, very important word. It's a word of optimism, a word of cheerfulness and expectation. All of us need hope about many different things in life. When we have hope, we anticipate, we expect, we look forward to something. When we have no hope, there's a sense of dread. We find ourselves in the muck and mire of something that we can't put our finger on. Where is our hope? In other words, what are we living for? There are a multitude of people today who do not have any hope. They have no hope about their marriage. They have no hope about their children. They have no hope about their health, about their finances, their future, their jobs, their profession. And they have no hope about the life itself. And they have no hope about life after that. And they have no hope about eternity. They're living in dark and gloomy sense of existence. But that's not the intent of our Father Almighty God. He intends for us to have hope in our lives, to have a sense of confidence and assurance. That is the reason he came to this world. His birth didn't simply provide the world with another birth. It provided the world with hope because of who he would become and what he would be. Let's pray before we reflect on his word. Dear Almighty God, we come before you with a heavy heart, seeking a renewal of our faith and hope. Help us to trust in your divine purpose of our lives. May your hope shine brightly in our heart and guide our steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at our verse of the day. It's from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." So, Isaiah has talked a lot about Jesus. But before I reflect on this verse, I just want to go into the reference to the context of when this verse was said. It was said about 600 years before Jesus Christ came. And it was Isaiah who prophesied. And it was King Ahaz at that time who was the king of Judah with the capital of Jerusalem. So Israel itself was divided into two parts. The southern part was the Judah with Jerusalem the capital. And the southern part was the kingdom of Israel, And it was ruled by king called Tirhaka. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Tirhaka. Anyway, so Judah was here, and then on the top was kingdom of Israel, and then there was a kingdom of Syria, which was called Aram, the kingdom of Aram. So, and then on the top was the big kingdom of Assyria. So these two kingdoms in the middle, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Syria, they wanted to join hands with the kingdom of Judah, Ahaz, to join together and attack the bigger kingdom, Assyria, because they were threatened from Assyria. So it sounds like as if you're talking of the present time, right? So the bigger kingdom, Assyria, represents Iraq, Turkey, Iran. So this king Ahaz, he said, no, I don't want to join you. He was afraid of Assyria. So he said, no, I don't want to join hands with you and attack the bigger kingdom because they are much stronger. Instead, he went to Assyria and bribed them to attack these two middle kingdoms so that they are not a threat to him. So that's the time when Isaiah goes to him and as a prophet and says, you should ask for a sign. And he said, no, why should I ask for a sign? In other words, he was telling them that I don't believe in God. I believe in my own strengths. I know that Assyria, I've paid them, I've bribed them. They will take care of these two middle kingdoms for me. So he did not believe in God. And Isaiah said, anyway, God will give you a sign. So he gave him this verse. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now, we talk about, another thing that I like about Isaiah is that he was the prophet. I would call him the prince of prophets because he spoke a lot about the coming of Jesus. In fact, he has been quoted 21 times by the New Testament writers about his prophecies around Jesus. And the sign. So there are three things we are going to talk about, which we get from this verse. And let's go to the next. There are three things: the sign, the Son, and the Savior. We'll talk about the sign first. And the sign basically means, in Hebrew, it means a signal or a mark or a token, or we can call it a miracle. Now, we see lots of road signs on the road. And of course, the signs, they lead us. So if you are traveling, Halifax is so many kilometers away, we would know that we are approaching a certain city where we are going to. Or it will give us signs about restaurants, the filling station, the gas station, and all that. And it will also give us how to turn, where to turn from. So signs are very important. So the sign in our lives as Christians is a very important thing. Now, why I say it is important? Because Jesus came and followed all the signs that were given in the Old Testament. Not one, not two, but hundreds of them. And Matthew repeats the same in his writing. In chapter 1, verse 23, it says, all of this was done so that what was said by Isaiah would be fulfilled. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Prophet Micah, about 720 years ago, he prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he did. Hosea mentioned that he would be coming from Egypt, which we know that he did. He went to Egypt, stayed there for some time with the family, and came out of Egypt. And then several prophets have talked about Messiah would come from Galilee, And we all know that he was raised in Nazareth and he came out of Galilee. So he completed all the predictions in the Old Testament. As we go along, we see that. Now, why is it important? It's important because 26 of the other religious books, the books which claim to be the scriptures, the holy books of different belief systems, we don't find any fulfilled prophecy. None. It's not there. You don't find any detailed predictions made that actually happened, so you don't have any track record of accuracy. You don't find them. So whether it is Upanishad, Veda, Bhagavad Gita, Quran, Confucius text, or the Book of Mormon, there are no fulfilled prophecies except the prophecies given about Jesus in the Bible, and all of them fulfilled. Not a single one was left. Bible has tons of them. So that's very important for us to know and to believe in the sign that was given to us. Now, and the three Abrahamic religions, the big religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity have differed on these three points. I wish they would have accepted all these three and they would all have saved. And today they would have been a different picture in this world. Anyway, we'll hold on to the sign, we'll come back to it. Let's go to the sun. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Now, a few years ago, Larry King was working with CNN, and he said if I could interview a single person from history, I would interview Jesus and ask him, are you a virgin born? He said I'd ask him that because his answer would absolutely define history for me. Now, Larry King was a Jewish, and he didn't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. And of course, if he could interview Jesus, the picture would have been different today. And that is why, for us as Christians, the virgin birth is very important. Any human birth requires a human source, a sperm to inseminate the ovum. There was only one birth that defied the process of fertilization, and that was the birth of Jesus Christ. And I believe that was the reason Joseph had a difficult time accepting the whole concept. He had to have a special visit by Angel Gabriel, you know the story, to convince him. The first prophecy that we see about Jesus was Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God was talking to the Satan, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now, the seed is from the man, we all know that, but here it says the seed from the woman, and pointing towards Jesus, because he was the seed from God directly, God himself, not from a human seed. So sometimes people don't concentrate on this thing, or they don't even care, virgin birth or no birth, doesn't matter. But no, it is important for us as Christians. Without the virgin birth, there would have been no hope. It is like Jesus was born like everyone else. It's like saying he's not God. And if he's not God, then all his claims are false. And if his claims are lies, then the salvation is a hoax. because the scripture says the virgin-born Son of God came to this earth, died for us, resurrected, and he still lives with us. We believe that that is true. He is the incarnate God. And that is our hope. As a man, he's the perfect representation of us. As God, he's a perfect sacrifice of us. So think it in this way, that Jesus was on the cross, and in one hand, he has God the Father, and in the other hand, he has humanity, and bringing them together, reconciling them over his dead body. Now the two are not distant, and they are one. Now there is a relationship. Now there is a fellowship. The Savior is standing next to us, beside us. Emmanuel, God with us. He is our Savior. Now, when we read the last part and we say, Emmanuel, God with us, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, you must have noticed there's a present continuous tense. It doesn't say God was with us or God will be with us. It says God with us. It's not a history. It's not a history as if someone came and left. God is constantly living with us. So if God is with us, then we are never alone. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, next please. It says, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And then he continues in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The second half, it says, "Be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." It's a constant promise. He's always with us. And if you remember the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, last words of Jesus, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So he's not only with us today or tomorrow, he's with us forever, to the end of the age. Such a strong promise of God. And it's very comforting. Wherever life takes us, God is there. We are never alone. The choices we make, the actions we take, we have to consider this at all the time, the reality of the presence of God with us. Let's go to the next. Okay. So we have established that God is with us all the times. In some practices I've seen people praying very loud prayers, long prayers, and singing their hearts out, bringing Holy Spirit from somewhere. But I just want to say that God is always with us. Just remember that truth. Close your eyes and he's there. Talk to him whenever you have any need. The second point that Emmanuel, God with us, means is that if he's with us, then who can stand against us? We are more than conquerors. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 45. The next slide. Okay. So I think we all remember the story of David and Goliath. I think David knew that. He was brought up as a very devout, religious child, and he wrote his, he used to be out in the fields with the sheep, and he should, would write his psalms and sing. And he knew the power of God. And that's what he said to Goliath. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And we all know the story. He conquered him with just a little pebble. That's the power of God. There is no circumstance whatsoever in this world that God cannot take over. We just have to trust him. He's there for us, and he's always there. There's no enemy in the form of whatsoever pressures we are facing. He's there. Let's go to the next one. Yes. So if God is with us, he knows what we are dealing with. Right? Agreed? Oh, thank you. So if we have some sort of a pressure, let's say money is the issue, or have an issue at the job place, or we come to a situation where we feel that no more, that's the end. Have you ever come to that point? Okay, let's go to the next slide, Umar. Have you seen this sign on the road? What does this mean? No entry, no more, we are done. I have done that so many times in my life where I have put my hands up and said, that's it. That's the end of the road. So now when we go and see this sign on the road, just praise the Lord, because his grace starts from this sign. Whenever we bring our hands up and say, we are done, that's the time when his grace works. He takes over, and he will pass you through those difficult times. Next verse. And I would just leave you with this verse. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Okay, so let's pray and close. Lord God, in our time of uncertainty, we come to you in prayer, seeking hope and strength. Help us to shift our focus back to you. Let us believe in your unfailing love and unwavering faithfulness. Today, Lord, we choose to have hope in your promises, knowing that Emmanuel, you are with us and you're always working for our good. Lord, you have said in your word, in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And we, Lord, we claim this eternal life in your name. Amen.